Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're finishing today our sermon series on the parables of Jesus with what is probably his most beloved parable, the prodigal son. And this is loved for lots of awesome reasons. It's so amazing. We could just spend hours and hours talking about it. Of course, it's not a football Sunday, so hey, maybe. No, we won't do that. Most parables focus on one specific part of the kingdom of God, one part of the Christian life. This parable shows us the big picture. It's a perfect picture of what God is accomplishing through Jesus Christ, through his gospel, through the good news. There are three main characters in the parable. The two sons represent you and me, the sinners. The younger son is selfish and self-indulgent. The older son is self-righteous and judgmental. Both sons are hurtful and horrible to their father. Which son represents you? I can't be sure, but probably both. I know both represent me. Sometimes I can be selfish and self-indulgent. Other times I can be self-righteous and judgmental. Sometimes I can be both on the very same day. Hopefully, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can see our own sinfulness in each of these sons. But today, I don't want to focus on the sons. I want to focus on the hero of the story, and that is the Father. The father in the story is amazing. He represents God, the Father. And what I love most about this parable is that Jesus shows us the heart of his Father, who is also, through baptism, our Father who is in heaven. This parable reveals for us God, the Father's heart. Let me share with you three truths about your Father's heart. Number one, the Father's love. Okay, so I just finished saying I didn't want to focus on the son, but we have to a little bit. The son is so cruel in what he does to his father. He comes to his father, basically says to his face, "Dad, I hate you. I've always hated you. In fact, I wish you were dead. I hate you, but I really like your money. Give me your money, and I will go as far away from you as I possibly can. Give me your money, and I will get away from you and your stupid rules. I hate you. I just want the money." That's basically what his father says. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." How would you feel if your child said that to you? Hurt, crushed, devastated. How would you react if your child said that to you? I think I know what I would be tempted to say. I would want to hurt that person the same way they hurt me. I would say, "You know what? I've been meaning to change the will, and your little speech has now convinced me. Guess what? I'm changing the will. Hey, guess what? Your brother gets everything. One more thing. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I'll be changing the locks as soon as you leave, so don't bother coming back. Goodbye and good riddance." People hurt us. We want to hurt them back, even worse than they hurt us. That's what human beings are like, unfortunately. That's what sinful human beings are. But that's not what this father says. He says basically, "Okay, sounds like a good plan. Let me write you a check. Okay, here's your share of the inheritance. It's all yours now." So the father divided his property between them. He didn't say all those things, but his actions did. He gives him everything he asked for. The selfish son acts with hatred and cruelty, and the father responds with love and patience and kindness, because we know from 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. He does not treat his son the same way he treated him. He does not treat his son as he deserves. He is gracious and kind and loving. This is the patience and kindness and love of God our Father, described in 1 John chapter 3. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Even though we can be selfish brats to our Father, he continues to lavish upon us his kindness, patience, his blessings, and his love. What great love the Father's lavished on us. And his love never ends. His love always perseveres. His love never fails. That's the heart of our Father in heaven. Second of all, the Father's heart is full of forgiveness. But while he was still a long... Oh. The son takes his father's wealth, everything the man had worked for over the last 20 years, all his hard-earned money that he earned with blood, sweat, and tears. And what does he do? He squanders it. He throws it all down the drain. In a few months, he has squandered all of it. Every single penny, everything the father worked for through his whole life is gone. He has nothing left. He's so broke he gets a job feeding pigs, but it doesn't pay him enough to even keep him fed. He longs. He's so hungry he wishes he could eat what the pigs are eating, but no one gives him anything. They are eating better than he is. He comes to his senses and recognizes even his father's workers are well fed and never lacked anything. Here he is going hungry. He comes to his senses and decides he needs to go home. While he goes home, he starts working on his speech. We all know the speech, right? We've been there when we've blown it. We have to come up with a speech. We practice it. I was so wrong. Please forgive me. What can I do to make it right? You know that speech. We've all made that speech. His went, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Please make me like one of your hired servants. He doesn't expect to be accepted as a son, nor should he. If he could be a servant, that would be more than enough. And he keeps practicing that all the way home. But deep down, he knows. He knows. He knows how cruel he was to his father. He knows how much he hurt his father. He knows he doesn't deserve anything. The only thing he deserves is a door slammed in his face. And in his mind, he thinks that's probably what he's going to get. And then comes one of the most amazing verses in the entire Bible. Luke 15, verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. This is the last thing the son expected. He expected a slam door in his face, or maybe his father's guards to be called in, or at least a lot of loud yelling and screaming from the father with lots of I told you so's thrown in. He gets none of what is expected. Instead, he gets compassion. Oh, there's our favorite word again, splugnizomai, the gut-wrenching compassion that we see in Jesus and we see also in his father, like son. The father is filled with compassion. He sees his son and runs to him. He doesn't walk. He doesn't wait for his son to come to him. He runs as fast as his legs will carry him to his son. He runs to him, throws his arms around him, and welcomes him home. My favorite part of this verse is the first part. While he was still a long way off. That's so important to understand. Notice the father sees the son way before the son sees the father. The father saw his son from a long distance. How could he do that? There's only one answer. He was looking for him, right? But here's the thing. He didn't know his son was coming home that day. How did he know to be looking for him all the way down the road from his house? How did he know to be watching for him on that particular day? The answer? He watched for him every day. Every single day. Every single day, the father woke up and thought to himself, Maybe this day is the day my son will come home. And he watched down that road, hoping to see the son in the distance. He watched every single day. That's what compassion, that's what splugnizomai looks like. The father hoped every single day that this is the day his son would come home. He hoped every day that this would be the day he would be reconciled with his son. And I think this is a good time to talk about the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Reconciliation takes two people. Forgiveness only takes one. Reconciliation. God wants us to forgive everybody. That's a decision each of us gets to make, independent of what the other person does. But we can only be reconciled with people that want to be reconciled. You can forgive someone, but you cannot be reconciled to them until they want to have a relationship with you. The same thing is true in our relationship with God. That's what we see here. When did the father forgive the prodigal son? The moment he left. As soon as that door slammed, the father forgave him and hoped that one day he would be reconciled to him. The door would always be open. The father would always be watching. He never held it against his son. For us, the disobedient children that we are, Christ paid the price for our forgiveness on a cross 2,000 years ago outside of Jerusalem. And the Father is more than willing to reconcile with us. through the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has already won. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." God the Father forgives us and desires to be reconciled with all people. And that's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the message we get to share with the world. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God already forgives you. He forgave you at the cross 2,000 years ago. Please be reconciled to God. That's the message of reconciliation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Where there is love and where there is forgiveness and reconciliation, what's always going to follow with God is joy. I love this next part, the Father's joy. But the Father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Wherever there's love and reconciliation, there's going to be joy. We see that with the younger son. There is joy for the father and joy for the son. The prodigal son begins his rehearsed speech when he comes home. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am not worthy." And the father interrupts him. He doesn't let him finish. This young man is not his servant, and the father will not hear such words. This young man is his son, and he will be treated as his son. He will be loved as his son, and he will bear the marks of being a son, which includes a new robe, the family ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. Oh, and one more thing. There's going to be a feast, a really big feast. The father says, "Get the fatted calf," not a fatted calf. "Get the one I have been saving just for this occasion. This is the day to celebrate. This is the day to rejoice. My son was dead. He is alive. He was lost. Now he's home. We will celebrate." And boy, did they celebrate. That father knows how to throw a party. There was the fattened calf, there was music, and there was lots and lots and lots of joy. So much joy, the father wanted to share it with the whole town. This father loves to celebrate. This father is full of joy, and he wants to share it with everybody. Our father loves to rejoice. Our father in heaven loves to rejoice. His heart is full of joy, and he wants to share his joy with you, because one person he rejoices in is you. That's what Zephaniah 3:17 says. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness." Isn't that wonderful? God rejoices over you with gladness. Your Father in heaven doesn't just love you. He delights in you. He rejoices in you. And he's so happy to have you as his son or his daughter. Jesus truly shows us the Father's heart in this parable. Our Father's heart is full of love. It is full of forgiveness. And it is full of joy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.